Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Outside Looking In. It's Tuesday night in the big town. Big town, North Potomac. Are you kidding me? Really, the big town. Let's go to McDonald's and then head over to CVS. That's the big town. But anyway, it's Tuesday night. We're here every Tuesday night between 8 and 9 p.m. Outside Looking In with Bruce Negrin. He's talking about the issues that emanate from the Montgomery County and beyond. So what's going on in Montgomery County? It seems like Tuesday is a big day. I guess they have council meetings. School board voted today. Talked about the bell times, the changing of the bell times. What else came out? The liquor board has also come out with recommendations of maybe changing Montgomery County liquor laws, seeing what's going on with that. You might be able to buy liquor in a supermarket or at a gas station. Boy, would I love that. But we'll talk about that as well. But this is Two-Way Talk Radio. The show is called Outside Looking In. My name is Bruce Negrin. My phone number is 773-897-6423. Again, that's 773-897-6423. This is Two-Way Talk Radio. So if there's something that's on your mind but not on my agenda, I'm still open to hear what you got to say. I always am open to hear what you got to say because let me explain what the program's about. I don't know if many people have had a chance to listen or understand the title of Outside Looking In. Right now, you know, I've been in Montgomery County about a year and 8 months, year and 9 months, getting my feet wet. I know what's going on. We're making friends. We're understanding what the politics is down here. We're understanding, you know, the best ways to get someplace. We found the back roads. We know to stay off 270, all of that kind of stuff. My wife and I are trying to piece it together, so and we're making a good run of it, but we're not ingrained in the fabric yet. What I mean by that is we're outside. We're looking in. There are people who know a little bit more, but we're catching up. I'm on the outside. You know, I might be outside of that smoker circle trying to bust in, but I'm looking, waiting for my opportunity. But that's what this program is about. We're going to talk about the issues that emanate from Montgomery County. If you've got something that's on your mind or something that's bothering you, that's doing, you know, or something that's good, let's not always go with the negative. There's something that's good, I will also take that as well because we've got to promote the positives as well. But a lot of people say, you know, you're a curmudgeon, Bruce, or something to that effect. You know, negativity, it's funny because this line sort of got bastardized too. It's like, I'm not negative, I'm a realist. And that really holds a lot of weight because sometimes you got to look at the issues that pop up, and you really got to question them. You got to see what's going on and get to the bottom of it. Because if you don't answer all the questions, and if you don't look at all the angles, then you got a half answer. And half answer is half, you know what I was about to say. But seriously, I mean, I don't think there's a problem in asking questions. Oh, you're always asking questions. You never really, you just want to be negative. No. Let me tell you, if you can answer my questions, then you've won the argument, and then I'm on board. That's the way it works. You know, this isn't a thing to say, oh, I'm just to throw mud at somebody and walk away. If you have the answers and you tell me what I'm talking about, if you can explain to me what I'm talking about is mistaken, and or you answer the questions that I have based on what you're talking about, and you answer them intelligibly, then I'm all for it. You're in. I'll be your biggest flag waver. I'll march down the avenue with you. You know, we'll go right down 28 screaming from the mountaintops. But that's the story. I mean, that's the purpose of Outside Looking In. This program is going to talk about issues of North Potomac. We're going to talk about schools. We're going to talk about traffic. We're going to talk about everything. Sounds like my first show, but it's not. We've covered a lot of different stuff. And then when we go outside and beyond, you know, what's beyond? 17 miles down the road is Washington, D.C. You know, and we're a suburb of it. A lot of people actually just work and live in Montgomery County, which is amazing. Never even see D.C., which I think is amazing and a shame. Because if you've got kids who are living 15 miles, 17 miles away from downtown, from the Lincoln Memorial, they should be going to see the Lincoln Memorial. This comes from a guy who's in New York, and I was guilty as anybody else. You know, I was probably 18 before I went to see the Statue of Liberty. Hey, it's in the water. I could go see Ellis Island and the Statue of Liberty from, you know, lower Manhattan. I don't have to go out there on a boat. It took friends from college to come up to make me go out there. And I'll tell you what, Statue of Liberty, be honest with you, it's better seeing it from afar. Go take the Staten Island Ferry. It's free. You get a nice, you know, close look at the Statue of Liberty. Because going inside, it's like a big baked potato. The last time I was in there, it was 97 degrees outside. I was with a bunch of friends from college and my brother as well. We're climbing up the steps. We go to the crown to see out. The view is nice, but it wasn't as amazing. You know, you've seen that view 1,000 times from movies or et cetera. I mean, to see it live is a different story. But it was hot. It's like being in a big baked potato. Can't lie to you about that. I cannot lie to you. I might try, but you'll catch me. Program's called Outside Looking In. I am Bruce Negron. We're here every Tuesday night between 8 and 9 p.m. talking about issues. What are your issues? The phone number is 773-897-6423. Oh, it seems like they're trying to take me off the air. What's going on with that? Already. But we're talking about the bell times and the shift in the school day. You know, it was funny because the teachers came out. They were very, very much against it. You know, 20 minutes. The teachers' excuses on this, you know, and I don't want to rail on teachers because they have a thankless job. They really do. But, I mean, their excuses for some of this stuff. There was a poll that went out, and it said Montgomery County teachers overwhelmingly opposed all options for starting public high school later to give students more time to sleep. See, this is where the issue gets confusing as well. It's just not about high school. Because if they move high school, they have to move everything. So middle school is moving back. Elementary school is moving back. Everything has been moving back now. So if you could separate the two, it would have been easy. High school, absolutely. I'm a little down on them moving the elementary school times forward or back 20 minutes because I think they were going a little bit late anyway. And then now they're going to get out 20 minutes later. So that does cause a problem with parents and stuff like that. But, you know, to each his own. If you want one, you got to get all three, then we're going to get all three. But nearly half of the district's 12,000 teachers responded to a survey, and 63% of them said they favor not changing high school bell times. The only one of the seven options the school board is considering that drew a majority. More than 50% said they were opposed to shifting start times to 20 minutes later, and more than 60% opposed moving bell times 35 minutes or later, according to survey results. This is great. Tom Israel, executive director of the Montgomery County Education Association, said the study shows that teachers are pretty overwhelmingly against changing school start times. Montgomery County Education Association, pretty overwhelmingly. Isn't that a double adjective, a double same thing? Pretty overwhelmingly. Overwhelmingly or pretty much? You know, come on. If you're going to speak and be quoted in the paper, speak correctly. Petty, but not that much petty. Not that petty coming from an educator or a union, someone representing the teachers. He said teachers who were surveyed raised concerns about lower-income families with students who have to work after-school jobs or take care of younger siblings and whether they'd be able to do those activities if the school day is shifted. Teachers also raised concerns about how late extracurricular activities would go if school times were changed. Ooh, you know what I don't get here? There are 49, maybe not that many, but I know I've been in two or three other states that have bell times where you go at 8:15 and then you get out at 3:15. And all of a sudden, you know, the extra hour and a half, which is just ridiculous. Giving your kid that much time is ridiculous, you know, from home from school. But Michael Rubenstein of the Montgomery chapter of the organization Start School Later, the Montgomery chapter, it's amazing, huh? It's amazing how they're really out there, how they're organizations and lobbyists and everything. They're everywhere and anywhere you want to be. He pretty much broke it down. He's saying the teacher survey is a reflection that teachers just don't want to do it. And really, I mean, they didn't come off well in this article at all. They really didn't come off well at all. Now, here's something. In a written comment that accompanied the survey, educators cited reasons for their opposition, including my home schedule. Okay, I get that. I get that. And then here, I'd rather leave school at the earliest time possible to avoid commuting traffic. And starting later just means that kids will stay up later at night. Oh, come on. Really? How petty are you? You sound like high school kids in your argument. That's just petty. Petty. I don't want to get stuck in traffic. No one wants to get stuck in traffic. Did you become a teacher not to get stuck in traffic? Is that what you've become? You know, I don't get that. I really don't get that at all. I mean, that's such a weak argument. It's not even funny. It's disgusting, to be honest with you. I mean, I'd be embarrassed. I guess they thought they would never reach the paper. I would hope not. I would hope not. But this is the way it breaks down. After today's vote, this is how it breaks down. And here's something I didn't realize. There's elementary schools going tiers in Montgomery County. I guess Jones Lane and Rachel Carson and Darnstown and a couple other schools in that I know of, maybe not Darnstown, but I know that Rachel Carson and Jones Lane are probably tier one. So elementary school gets pushed back to 9 a.m., getting out at 3:25. No big deal for me on that one. But elementary school tier two gets out at 9:25, and then they gets in at 9:25, and then they get out at 3:50. That's a little bit late. It's a little bit late, especially if you got after school activities. That time I understand it. Middle school is going to go to 8:15 to 3 p.m. Fine by me. That's what Albert Leonard Junior High School used to have. And then high school is going 7:45 to 2:30. The kids are still getting out at 2:30. They're getting out at 45 minutes earlier than I ever had. And you know what some of these people said on Facebook about the comments here about this is getting a little bit annoying. I never had this much trouble on internet radio. I can't tell you how mad I am right now. Kim Jong-un, must be North Korea. It's absolutely North Korea trying to take me off the air. It's either that or Seth Rogen. I'm asking you to call into my show. I can't even stay on the air. This is nothing that I'm doing. I know how to work this board. Blog Talk Radio letting me down just a little bit. A little bit. But anyway, I was talking about the comments on Facebook about later school bell times and how we're capitulating to the kids. We're making them lazy. You know, the first person gets on a bus around 5:55 a.m. The first stop is around 5:55 a.m. to get to high school. That's crazy. That's when the newspaper guys are coming around. You might as well get a job giving out newspapers and drive to school, because that's what the story is. And you know, and the other thing too, if you want to have some sense into something like this, it's you're not even given the chance for the sun to come up. That's why we have all these two-hour delays. It's like, oh, it doesn't look that bad. But when the sun doesn't come up, in New Rochelle or New York, where we used to go to school at 8:15 or something to that effect, at least the sun would be up for an hour and a half, or an hour at least, and melt some of these roadways so you could get through. I mean, you worry about ice? Of course it's ice. Of course you're going to cancel school because you're sending kids off to school in the dark. And we're a little further west here, so the sun comes up a little bit later than it does in New York, than it does here. That is scientific. I have made that observation because I thought so. I thought I was going crazy, but I'm not. It's the truth. But anyway, school bell times are changing 20 minutes later. Let's run it down one more time. If you're in elementary school tier 1, you're going to go 9 a.m. to 3:25. Middle school is now 8:15 to 3 p.m., and high school is 7:45 to 2:30. 7:45 is at least reasonable. But still, I mean, these people are saying, you know, they have to go. Don't these kids have to get up for jobs? We've got to prepare them for later on in life. Who's at their desk at 7:45? Really? I mean, I'm sure there's some people, but not all of us. 9 o'clock, 8:30, right? Oh, you're the early guy. 8:15, you're the early guy. Hey, what are you doing? Trying to kiss up to the boss here? You know, it's just that's just a little bit crazy. It annoys me, by the way. But people have an opinion on everything, and, you know, they want the easy way out on most everything. So what can I tell you about that? Speaking of Quince Orchard High School, this is a little bit off the topic, but it's something that I think is funny because I found out that I am a library junkie. I don't want to call myself an intellectual. I am a smart man, but I don't think I'm an intellectual in that sense that I would be discussing Faulkner books. But I do like to read. And my problem is that I like to collect books to read, and unfortunately I have found out that I don't have the time to read them. You have two kids. You know, you try to put them into bed by 8 because I got to get up at 3 o'clock, milk the cow, and then go to high school. No. I got kids in elementary school, so that's not the truth. But you try to get them to bed. You know, it drags on until about 9 o'clock, and then you're down. You come down, get something to drink, water or whatever. You're ready to go. And then you sit and relax because it's finally your time, because it's been a 4 hours since you've been anywhere. So it's finally your time. And now you're sitting down, and you're tired. You're too tired to read. So what am I saying about being a library junkie? I bring my kids to the library because it's the one thing that they do like to do. I told you, they don't go out. But they do. They don't go out to play when it's 45 degrees or 50 degrees unless I force them out, which just drives me nuts. But I bring them to the library, and they love to get books. I mean, they know all about Dewey Decimal. It's like their buddy. Dewey Decimal says. They also know about alphabetizing. It's pretty overwhelmingly. But they know about alphabetizing, so they can find their books. They go in there. They know what they're talking about now. And what I love is, like, my kids are not afraid. They will go up to the help desk and say, excuse me, can you help me, please? You know, that's the way it should be. You can't have your kids hide behind you. They got to get out there. They got to do a little couple things for themselves. So I'm a little proud. Not a little. I'm very proud of Ryan and Landon for doing that kind of stuff. But we go there, and I got, like, 9 books on my bookstand, and I got 4 books in my nook. And what does Schmucko do? He goes to the library and pulls out a book. I get another book. So everybody's going to get pushed back, and now I got 3 weeks to read it. I'm going to renew it like 2 times. But I love the idea of reading. I don't know if I like reading. I want to actually get a cup of Nescafe. You remember those big World Cups? I don't even drink coffee, but I want to get one of those, a blanket and a fire and a comfy chair. And I want to sit there and I want to read like 7 books. My problem is after I read like 3 chapters, I'm out. I can't do it anymore. And that's the other thing. It's like, don't you just want to drift off to sleep? But now you got to take off your... Well, now I got to wear glasses for reading. So I got to take off the glasses. I got to close the book. I got to turn off the light. I got to turn to make sure the pillow's right. I'm pretty meticulous or particular sleeper. So I don't know what that's all about. But that, it's just... Reading. I just want to go to sleep. Close my eyes. And be done with it. But anyway, I go to the library. The Quince Orchard Library is not bad. Definitely not full. I know that seems like an auxiliary library. It's better than that, but it doesn't have all the books that you need. The whole system is pretty cool. But I go in there, I just pick up too many books. I'm always thinking I'm going to read more than I do, and I don't. You know, and I do read enough, but to read the newspapers and the books, I got no time to do anything else. I want to watch the Rangers every once in a while. And then I got hockey 2 nights a week. I'm running around. And then on the weekends, my goodness gracious, man, the weekends, I sleep later on the weekdays than I do on the weekends. The kids to hockey or skating class, and then we got basketball right after it, and then we'll have like a day off, and then we'll go into soccer and baseball. I mean, the darn kids, this is the thing, though. I like bringing them, but you have to bring them to this stuff to get them exposed. Otherwise, they'll never do it themselves. Serious about that. You have to do it themselves. This is Outside Looking In. My name is Bruce Negron, and I want to apologize for any technical problems that we might be having. I'm just getting kicked off the air a couple times, and I told you, I think it is the North Koreans. Sort of makes me a little bit mad, but I'm calmed down. I'm not as curmudgeonly or mad as I was before. I'm not going to rail and scream on Blog Talk Radio. Because it's given me a chance to talk to you, and that's what the key is. We got to talk about the issues. We got to talk about things. We got to get things right, and this is how you start. These are forms for it. My phone number is 773-897-6423. That's 773-897-6423. My name is Bruce Negron. Now, here's something else I wanted to talk about the elections. Barry Hogan is the Republican governor of Maryland, the first Republican governor in, I guess, 8 years, or maybe 4. I know that Ehrlich was here. He was way before my time. The only reason I know about Ehrlich is because I remember coming down here to visit friends and seeing his name on the signs when you come into Maryland. Thinking that you're close to North Potomac and you're not even nearly not as close. Always going to get stuck in Aberdeen or something on 95. But anyway, I know that Ehrlich was here. He's the last Republican governor, and then O'Malley came in. And I had a question to ask. And I know that a lot of Republicans come out and said O'Malley's raised taxes, you know, raised taxes on air. And that was his answer to everything, is to raise taxes, raise taxes, raise taxes. I don't believe in that. We talked about this ad infinitum last week. But it's for all you people who are new, I'm going to tell you again, I believe that I'm a social, a right-leaning Democrat. I forgot how I put it last week, but I am a New York Republican is a lot different than what you would read in a newspaper about a Republican. You know, social issues, a lot more open, fiscally responsible. I think that's the key. That's what brands me a Republican, is being fiscally responsible. But Larry Hogan comes out and he's yelling and screaming, doing what he's got to do to get elected. And that's the thing. People say what they have to say to get elected, because that's what everybody wants to hear. How's he different? Oh, he told me he's going to roll back taxes. Go get him, Larry. You know, Maryland is too high taxed. You know, you get somebody who's got escrow and writing out their tax check on the end of the year, getting ready for the fourth quarter or so, and November elections come along. This guy sounds like he's, you know, better than sliced bread because he's saying he's going to roll back taxes. Now, my question to you is, would you ever vote for someone who said, friends and countrymen, I'm going to hold the line on taxes? Would you ever vote for someone who said, I'm not going to lower them, but I'm sure as hell ain't going to raise them for this year or next year? Because, you know, Larry Hogan comes in, and what happens already, he's made these promises about lowering taxes, and now he's got to rob Peter to pay Paul because there is no money in the budget. No money in the budget. You know, he's got to make cuts here, there, and everywhere, and he's talking about cutting education, you know, the per capita that comes back, even though it seems like they're going to be spending more on education. It's the dollars that come back. It's a whole complicated and convoluted system that I am not going into right now. But really, I mean, would you elect someone who said, hey, we're in a budget crisis right now. We need the money. I'm going to hold the line on taxes. I am not going to raise them. Instead of saying that, I am going to lower them. I think I would. I actually had that thought a long time ago when I ran for city council. But you know it's not going to work. I mean, people say anything to get elected. Say anything, whether it's real or not. And the suckers are the people who are listening to it. You know, really, those are the suckers. Oh, he's going to roll back taxes. But if you take a look, if you're an educated person, okay, it's coming out of my, you know, he's going to cut taxes for me right here, and I'm going to be paying less, but you're going to be paying more somewhere else. It's like three-card Monte, you know, it's a shell game. It just keeps moving around. If there's a deficit, there's a deficit. Whether they got to go into bonding, you know, and everyone's into bonding now because interest rates are low. You know, all that refinancing, everybody keeps bonding and refinancing their bonds because the interest rates keep going or holding steady or being low. You know, it's a perfect time right now for that. You know, and if you need cash for infrastructure projects, I understand it. But if you need cash just to pay your bills, you might as well call Montel Williams. I mean, that's what it's about. Go to the money store. Ask Phil Rizzuto what's up. Because that's what it's about. You're taking money from something else to do and to pay and to cut. It's not real. It's not real. You know, Maryland's based on a lot of things that aren't real. And this gambling issue to me, you know, gambling, you know, well, it's fun, you know, it's fun. It's not fun if you don't get free drinks. Because I'll tell you, I'm the worst gambler in the world because I'm so darn serious about it that I just sit there, not with a poker face, but with an angry face. I age like 5 years. You know, the first time I ever played craps, you know, I was with a bunch of friends and we learned how to do it. And, oh, craps, this is fun. Hey. You know, dollar on the yo. All of that kind of stuff. You know, go shooter, hit the pass line, blah, 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 blah. Next time I played, I lost my shirt. Seriously, if anybody goes down to Shreveport, Louisiana, and you see a blue button-down polo shirt, please pick it up. It's mine because I had to give it to the hotel or the casino when I was leaving. Casinos take money. They don't generate money. They take money. And more casinos that you build, the more money that's getting sucked out of people's pockets and into state coffers, but at the people's expense. It's just another tax. The difference there is it's a tax you can choose or not to choose. Choose to pay or not choose to pay. You know, you got the Horseshoe Casino in Baltimore, and then you have Maryland Live, and they're no more than 15 minutes away from each other, which just is amazing to me as well. And now they're cannibalizing each other, and don't tell me that they're not. You know, I had someone who deals blackjack at one of them. He says, no, there's no, not blackjack, deals poker. He goes, no, there's no difference. There's a difference, and you'll see it soon enough. You're not going to see it on opening night, but when those books come in, you know, and De Niro's in the back room counting chips, you're going to see the difference. But really, what we got to start getting people who's going to just talk the truth. I mean, not the hard line, straight truth to show how tough they are, but the truth being that, hey, I don't want to raise taxes, but I sure as heck can't lower them. I'm going to hold the line on taxes. That's what I'm going to do, because we still have to pay all these bills. We're going to look at the budget line by line and figure out what's going on. And all these people, this is a thing that used to happen in Nurse Show a lot that used to bother me, that did bother me. And I saw it actually in one of these things for Washington, D.C. City Council. They were talking about, well, you know, it's only $29 million. It's a drop in the bucket compared to the whole budget. It's still a savings of $29 million or something to that effect if you do it. And a lot of drops of buckets, a lot of drops of water in a bucket creates a full bucket, doesn't it? You know, when you're out there running, pounding the pavement, and trying to lose weight, do you drop 30 pounds overnight? You know, you drop a pound or two a week till you get where you have to do. And that's what belt tightening's about. You know, because everybody's talking, and all of these people are talking, and we had a business meeting today at my office, and everybody's talking about the economy rebounding. You know, sure, for who? To where? You know, the GOP has to restructure their plan because they can't hammer Obama on the economy anymore. You know, it is a slow process, people. It's a slow process. You think that because Washington puts out a job number, your life is better right now? Things are on the upswing, but that's the key word right there, swing. Someone's going to feel it first, and someone's going to feel it last. You know, the economic indicators say things are looking up. Not that we're over anything. Not that anything's done. There's still a lot of companies out there struggling. You know, and then they throw in gas prices. Let me tell you about gas prices. What the hell just happened? What do you mean, Bruce? What do you mean what just happened? You go down to Goody Road. There was a Shell station down there that I almost took a picture because I couldn't believe it. In my future lifetime, I never thought I would see gas at $1.99 again. Never, ever. I'm old enough to remember when I saw it at 83 cents back like in 94 down in Atlanta, Georgia. 84 cents at the Quick Trip. Anybody know the Quick Trip? Probably the best store of all time. You could go in there, buy a six-pack, a Tombstone pizza, fill up your car, and get a tin of Skull for like 12 bucks. Yeah, I was a dummy a long time ago. I told you about that. Chewing tobacco. I thought I was a big hick down south, down in Georgia. Hey, man. Hey, give me some Skull. Give me some Skull. I need it. Little pinch between my cheek and gum. What does that sound like? I don't even know. It sounds like Bill Clinton crying. But anyway, $1.99 on Goody. Down in Rockville by the ice skating centers there. Now, everyone's close to it. The Liberty down there is close to it. You go to the corner of where I live, like Quince Orchard High School, you know, the prices are always 50 cents more, it seems. But anyway, I went down to that Goody the other day, that Shell station on Goody, to get cheaper gas. I want to pay cash, or actually went to the Shell because Shell charges the same for cash and or credit. And obviously, there's a little something built in there. But anyway, the darn thing was up to $2.29. You know, we're all talking about gas prices going down. They just went up 30 cents in the last 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks. The economy's coming. I know that they got to manipulate the market. People are losing or whatever, and they're going to shut down, and they feel like there's too much energy on the market. But, you know, we're all jumping for joy saying we're paying $1.99 gas. That was for about 3 days. Now it's back up to $2.30, which I'll tell you is a lot better than $2.69 or something to that effect, $2.75. I mean, the gas price is low, but it's jumping back up. Market manipulations, shifts in the market. And everybody, you can't, don't tout lower gas prices when they jump 30 cents in less than 2 weeks. Doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't. So what we need is some straight-talking people to go out there and stop pandering to everybody, because we got a lot of politicians pandering. I was reading an article the other day about Bobby Jindal, the Louisiana governor. When the Common Core first came out, Common Core? Talk about curse words to some people. But when Common Core came out, he was all for it. Now, because he wants to be president and he needs the Tea Party and the hardline Republicans, he's against it, railing at it every chance he gets. Let me tell you how we can fix Common Core right away. Right away. Use a little common sense with Common Core. That's what this program should be called, Outside Looking In with Bruce Common Sense Negrin. Because the thing that bothers me about Common Core, and I am lucky. I am lucky in terms of my children, because when they first entered Common Core, one was in first grade and the other wasn't even school yet. So Landon's just entering kindergarten, or he's into kindergarten now. So now he's just getting it. He's going to be developed in the Common Core system. There was nothing who was in someone in sixth grade who learned the old way and then overnight's told that it's wrong. I am all for figuring out different ways to look at something, going at it from different seven different angles. That's fine. That's fine. If we have to discuss how 2 plus 2 equals 4, five different ways, I'm all for it as well. But understand that 2 plus 2 equals 4. Don't tell someone they're wrong. They're basic tenets of learning in America that have to still be followed. I'm not against Common Core. Believe me when I tell you this, but you got to add common sense to it. Multiplication tables, why should we take something that we can memorize and destroy it? Add it in. Yes, 7 times 7 is 49. Yes, that is correct, Mr. Negrin. You are right. How do you know that? Well, I memorized it. Okay. Show me another way that 7 times 7 is 49. Draw a bunch of dots. Sounds like I'm disparaging Common Core. Well, a little bit. But knowing something like that, when did that become wrong? 2 plus 2 is 4. 2 plus 3 is 6. 2 plus 4 is 8. When did that become wrong? It can't be wrong. It's not wrong. Add stuff like that into a multiplication table. Should not be frowned upon. Should not be looked down upon. It should be incorporated. It should be incorporated. Yes, there are 9 ways to solve a different problem, and I think that's what Common Core is trying to do. Try to get an understanding of it, to look at it, to feel it, to touch it, instead of just memorizing. Okay, you memorize. That's wonderful. It's like memorizing vocabulary words, but what do they mean? Can you spell them? Can you do it? You know, I know there are a lot of people out there with a problem with Common Core. I haven't run into it yet. I just haven't run into it yet, and I'm told you, I'm very, very lucky that my children are indoctrinated early, that there is nothing that I have to erase from their memory bank. Ryan Landon, come here. Give me those tapes. Give me those tapes in your brain. We got to erase it. They're learning from the beginning, but do not ignore common sense. Do not ignore common sense, because there's some things I see that my wife and my child got in an argument. They got in a fight, a second grader and a woman who graduated very high in her class at Penn State, got into a fight over words that are oddball in terms of spelling. Ryan was saying rich and witch and something else are oddball words. They don't follow any rules. And Gina's like, you are wrong. You were wrong. I had to interject. I had to break up a fight in my own house. A fight in my own house. Ryan had a knife. Gina had a chair. They were about to go at it. There were broken bottles everywhere. My wife and my son, my 8-year-old son, 7-year-old son, were about to throw down over Common Core. Because my son understood it, my wife didn't. And I'm not disparaging Gina by any means here. It's just that she couldn't understand how common sense would tell you. Common sense told you this is not right. Ryan said it's right. And I know he said, I knew I had to step in because I knew he was right, because I had talked to the teacher before and I'd been practicing this stuff with him. The English part is like my to-do. So I've been practicing this part with him, so I understood where the oddballs came from because they colored him in differently. That's how I knew what he was saying was correct in how he was saying it. But literally, they were going to fight. And you know what? My wife pulled the greatest move of all time. Gina is a genius. 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 She's a genius. She pulled the greatest move of all time because she was going to take over and do the spelling words with Ryan. She got in the argument with him. She goes, she said to my son, she goes, okay, Mr. Smart Guy, then you just do it. I was like, oh, my God. Common Core starting fights inside the household between 8-year-olds and 29-year-olds. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. No, it's funny. It really is funny. Well, let's go to the calls. Caller, I didn't realize you were there. Welcome to Outside Looking In with Bruce Negron. You're on the air.
Hey, this is Francois from Montgomery Village. Hello?
Yes, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm very well, very well. What do you want to talk about?
Well, actually, it's about a topic that you talked about earlier on, so I know you moved on a little bit, but with regards to taxes and getting elected on reducing the taxes, everything seems to be such a tax burden. And, in dealing with common sense, one of the things that really kind of irks me, because I'm originally from Canada, and, you get a lot of people down here that really are bummed out about the way we're being taxed down here. But, when you look at other societies, just for an example, I just looked up a few numbers here. One thing that really irks me is the capital gains tax. And the capital gains tax especially, I think it is especially benefits the rich because they're the ones that are able to go ahead and invest. You know, for the guy who's basically living paycheck to paycheck, this doesn't come into play whatsoever. And I just looked up a few numbers. And with a capital gains tax of 15%, that means that anybody like a married couple, I'm just looking at some of these married filing jointly, if you're making over $73,000 a year, you're paying 25% on the amount over $73,000. So you're paying more than somebody that's sitting on their backside with a ton of money and they're playing the market, and whenever they make it, it's 15%. And the capital gains tax rate in Canada is 50. They can deduct 50 if it's a loss, and that sounds only fair. But just the idea that passive income gets taxed so little is just beyond me, because for the vast majority of us, that's not where our major income is coming from. And so I find that really I can't believe that somebody, some politician really hasn't sort of raised the issue. Is it because those people that are capable or able to benefit from the capital gains tax are the ones that are the major contributors? What do you think?
I'm here. I'm sorry. I hate to say this. I'm having such miserable technical difficulties that you kept going in and out when you were talking. So I caught part of it, and every third word. I know that we were talking about capital gains tax, and I feel like a schmuck. I'm not going to lie to you. And I promise you, I was not out the fridge getting any beers or anything. It's just the technical difficulties right now are absolutely killing me.
Yeah, I know. I was having a hard time getting the show as well. I know. Now, in a nutshell, it's just basically, do you feel that it's fair that passive income should be taxed at a lower rate than regular income?
Are you speaking English? Francois, I'm sorry. I'm terribly sorry. I'm catching every third word of yours. And it's not your fault. I know that.
Oh well, maybe we can revisit the topic when the technical parts are working a little better.
Yeah, I apologize. I apologize. I'll have to listen back. I'll give you an answer next week.
Well, we can bring, if you don't mind, putting it up, and then I'll do a little more research, so I'll be a little more prepared. I just I just looked up a few numbers. Took me 5 minutes. I'll put a little more time into it.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Hey, I'm going to have to let you go. I'm sorry.
All right.
All right. Thank you for calling. Seriously. Oh, my goodness. That was ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Not the phone caller, but the way I'm hearing it. It was in, out, chopped up pretty poorly. And I'm starting to get a bit annoyed, you know, because it's not the way the show should run. It's not the way. I mean, someone takes the time enough to call. I want to give them the respect that they deserve, especially. It's just I couldn't hear a word. I heard capital gains tax 15%. And then when people get married, that's all I heard. I was struggling. I was under the desk here with both earphones, earplugs in there, but it wasn't even a matter of hearing. It was a matter of static on the line. I'm going to have to get this worked out. I'm going to have to get this worked out. So don't call 773-897-6423. That's a shame. It's absolutely a shame because, I'm sure the points, I know the gentleman was calling, and I'm sure the points were valid, and I'm sure it was going to be something that was thought-provoking because we've had a couple conversations outside of a radio station or outside of a communication situation of where, I haven't solved the world's problems, but they definitely got a good thought about it. So I will listen back. Hopefully the phone call came through on the playback, and I'll get a chance to listen to that and answer that question as soon as possible. So it seems like I'm going to have to go solo. We got about 15 minutes left in the program. This is Outside Looking In. My name is Bruce Negrin. I'm here every Tuesday night between 8 and 9 p.m. talking about the issues that emanate from Montgomery County, and it seems like it's only going to be my opinion, always. See, I set it up that way. It is Kim Jong-un. This is not an appropriate response to attack my program. What did I do? Bell times? That's what you're mad about? Well, we might have to change our undisclosed broadcast location. No longer could I be the man in the basement. I'm going to have to move upstairs to get a better reception. We'll see what this is all about. But yeah, really, first of all, I apologize again. I don't get it. I don't understand. It makes me mad because I wanted to talk to you. Well, let's go back to something. A shift of blame in Metro Probe. This is the story that just keeps giving, I'll tell you that. Washington, D.C., we're going to jump outside to our Washington, D.C. Bureau Chief, Bruce Negrin. I'm right here. Bruce, how you doing tonight? Hey, Jim, I'm very good. Bruce, I'm very well. How are you? I'm good. Well, what's going on in the district? Well, tonight, the district, there's a shift of blame in the Metro Probe. Unions are now faulting fire department radios. Amazing. You know, D.C. is not, you don't trust D.C. for snow? Don't trust them for an emergency. What is going on? Why are people asleep at the wheel? Why are basic tenets of life? So I've closed the Common Core conversation, obviously. But basic tenets of life, protect me. That's what I'm paying you for. I'm paying you. I hate that phrase. That's what you are being paid to do, is to protect people. Whether you're in government, you have to know what's going on, or if you're in the emergency services, et cetera. You have to know what's going on. And again, I cannot stress this enough. I moved from New York City to Washington, D.C. The minute I move here, every movie I ever had ever seen, they'll keep blowing up New York. The Avengers, Independence Day, whatever. I've seen New York blown up with my own eyes. I've lived it. I don't need to live it again. D.C. has the same thing. They've seen D.C. blown up. But now they're having saying, listen to this. Unions for D.C. firefighters and paramedics broke ranks with Mayor Muriel E. Bowser on Thursday, blaming the district's fire department for poor training and pervasive radio failures as probes continue into last month's fatal smoke incident aboard Metro. Documents released Thursday also revealed that fire department sent just 100 of its more than 1,700 firefighters to Metro disaster training last year, a fraction of the number sent by departments in neighboring counties with Metro stations in Maryland and Virginia. Montgomery County sent 475 firefighters to this training center, this Metro training center. 475. And we got a couple stations there, and most of them are above ground. But they still had the wherewithal to send people to do disaster training. Washington, D.C. sent 100. Now, this is the shocker. This is the one that kills me and I think is a crime, and it's a crime. You know, and again, I appreciate the Washington Post. They come out and they will give you 14 weeks of Edward Snowden, but this is something that you can't lose sight of because these people need their feet held to the fire. Leadership in Washington, D.C. needs their feet held to the fire. The district does not staff on every shift officers specifically trained for rail emergencies. Did you hear that? Hello? The district does not staff on every shift officers specifically trained for rail emergencies. First of all, I feign surprise, but when you only send 100 people, you know, to training for disasters, you're not going to have 100 people. All of them are going to be spread out pretty far. But they do not staff every shift with officers specially trained for rail emergencies. Are you out of your minds? Are you out of your minds, Washington, D.C.? If anything, you know, trapped underground, there's things that can happen in disasters, earthquakes, fires, etc. You know, I mean, if you're above ground, you have a chance. You're underground, you're dumb plum out of luck. You're out of luck. You know, the testimony jarred D.C. council members who seemed exasperated at times and questioned what progress the district's fire department had made since the terrorist attacks of September 11, 2001, and the 2009 Red Line crash that killed 9. Both tragedies triggered a wave of spending on better equipment for the city's first responders. Alyssa Silverman, independent at large, is quoted as saying, "It just seems like this is somehow this isolating incident, where all of a sudden we realize there are all kinds of issues." Woo-ha! Yeah, there are all kinds of issues. Then it went on to say, specifically on Metro, Lyons said paramedics have not been trained effectively for more than a decade on how to respond to a Metro disaster. You have to be kidding me. You know my anger and outrage about this. This is one of those things that needs to be questioned, and there is no good response to it other than saying we are working on it right now. We have people in training right now because that's what's happening. Jones, the acting chief, said that 3 battalions were sent Wednesday of this past week to train at the facility. They better start training. Come on, man, you're a major city. A major city. Ferguson has rolling tanks. In other places are paramilitary police forces. And we can't go in there and save somebody from a Metro line disaster? They're not trained for it. They're not staffed for it. You want to be an international city, which you are an international city, the power broker of the United States, correct? You better get with it. I mean, there is no thing that is more important. I mean, I know there are issues about homelessness. I know there's issues about income inequality. I get it. But when it comes to safety, we're all the same. We are all the same, and you have to protect your investment, D.C., if you want people to be down there. If you want people to ride the train, protect the train. Don't tell me to get on a Metro and then tell me that you don't have enough people staffed on every shift that can get me out of something. And I am not an alarmist by any means. There was a study that went on in the New York City subway this past week saying that, you know, there were traces of bubonic plague on the railings, small traces of bubonic plague and all of these kinds of diseases and things that can get you sick, etc., in the New York subway system. And people are like, "Oh, I'll never ride the subway system again." Come on, man. You know, the subway might be the place to pick up a bad disease or something, but I've been riding the subway in New York City for 20 years, 15 years. I can never trace a disease or a sickness to the subway. Meanwhile, I've been in Montgomery County for a year and 8 months with my kids, and I can trace 5 colds and 2 strep throats to my kids. But that is a different story, you know. I mean, that's what I mean about being an alarmist, saying, I hold the rail. I don't put my hand around it or hold a tissue with it. Grow up. Get tough. But on this kind of thing, it's not about getting tough. The basic tenets of government that people expect. You know, we all talk about the government handing out things, and we want. You know, when it comes down to it, yeah, we want. Everybody wants. I mean, just look at the bailouts that were going on a couple years ago. Everybody wants government out of their lives, but they're saying, how's the government helping me? That's a philosophical question, but I would never get philosophical about safety. Never, ever get philosophical about safety. I expect that. I expect people to be trained, especially when I'm not putting myself in danger. When the only danger I'm putting myself in is paying a fare and getting on the subway or the metro. If something happens, I hope that somebody can get to me. I pray that somebody can get to me, especially if it's not something horrific. Something bad, but not horrific, like a tunnel collapse or something. You know, that's when you say, ooh, we're in trouble. But other things, man, you got it. It's just disgusting, and they better go up and down. The mayor, the cautioned response, the measured response mayor, better be raising hell up and down every agency, whether it's Metro, the fire department, or whatever. This is where you need someone without a measured response. You don't need someone to go, what the hell is going on? Well, actually, excuse me, you do need that. And then you say, you better get it done. And I want to see a report on when it's done and how it's done. So I could go out to the people who have elected me and I could tell them that you are safe on my subway system, that you are safe on the Metro. Because right now she can't do it. Right now she can't do it. Right now DC's got a huge black eye on it. And every day, new stuff comes out. And is it surprising? I mean, Washington, D.C., I just don't understand what's going on down there. Here was another article in the Washington Post. Council members attempt to reconcile budget contradictions. News of a $204 million surplus had some asking about looming gaps. The D.C. council members pressed city officials on Thursday to explain why spending has been frozen on key programs and why warnings of a $250 million budget gap loom less than a week after financial officials announced the district ended its last fiscal year well in the black. How do you get that one wrong? Seen in the seemingly contradictory numbers, an estimated $240 million gap that must be closed in the 2016 budget, a projected $83 million revenue shortfall for the current fiscal year, and the $204 million budget surplus announced last Friday. You know, if we're looking at economic indicators, there's a budget gap and an $83 million in a revenue shortfall. But they say there's a $204 million budget surplus. So the council is saying, why would we continue to have a freeze on things that really matter? There's a cognitive dissonance here. Boys, that politics speech. There's a cognitive dissonance here. With all this money coming in, why are we not spending on the things people are constantly saying they care about? There's not money coming in, Miss Alyssa Silverman. The money is not coming in. The revenue is falling down. What you're dealing with is a budget gap and an anomaly. Finally, somebody on Rashad M. Young, who handles the budgetary matters for Bowser, they're complaining to him about the hiring freeze, but he finally came out and said any decisions on which spending would be unfrozen would wait until new revenue estimates are released this month. I think it's important as we look at the list here that we understand what the challenge is or isn't. Exactly. People want to spend money that they might not even have yet. Don't you want to find out the answers as to why there might be a budget surplus? Not a city council, not in D.C. Let's spend it. That's why people are afraid of government. Because the minute they have money, they spend money. The minute there's a perception that they're going to have money, they spend money. Find out what the reason is first. The thing that you should be scared about is an $83 million shortfall in revenue. You might not be a business, but you have to run it like a business at times. Of course you need your social programs. Of course you got to fund stuff. And if there is money left over, then you got to put it back and you got to work it. But you also got to have a slush fund. You also got to have operating expenses because guess what? With an $83 million shortfall, and we talked about the cameras, et cetera, of why it's happening, you better prepare for that, but not this D.C. council, not any city council. Let's go out there and spend. I've lived through this before in Nourishell. 2007, $14 million, $17 million in a reserve fund. Move it all over to the general fund. By 2013, 2012, that reserve fund is down to $3 million, which is not even enough to cover city emergencies. Be smarter than that. You know, exactly. Instead of asking for all these unfreezes, find out what the problem is. Instead of spending money, you don't even know where it's coming from. Hey, look, I just found $100 under the mattress. Maybe that $100 was your wife's money, and she was holding on to it to spend for the kids' lunch or something. You know, what the hell are you talking about, Bruce? You're all over the place. But find out what the money is. Maybe it's the money that you took out of your wallet and put in your back pocket for some reason. It's not an extra $100. It was the $100 that was already there. White man, speak 'em truth. Program's called Outside Looking In. My name is Bruce Negrin. I'm here every Tuesday night from 8 to 9 p.m. It's supposed to be two-way talk radio, and we will get this problem rectified whether I got to move out of the basement and do it out in the street, do a remote from the street. It'll be cold, but I'll do it. I will do it. I appreciate everybody out there listening. I appreciate the callers calling in. And again, I apologize for the technical difficulties. I'm burning. I'm burning up over here. Makes me mad. Makes me mad. You got to do me a favor. Do something today that will make you better tomorrow. My name is Bruce Negrin, and I'll talk to you next week.